Don't. My, ooh, this is going to be a fun one. My milky, my illustrious, my sexy confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Darrah, and here with me this week to talk about, oh, this is going to be such a fun episode. I'm so excited to introduce our guest. She is an adult content creator, a self-proclaimed milky mama, and has taken the adult industry by storm with her lustrous curves as an independent creator and fat girl in porn. Welcome to the podcast, Gwen Adora.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be such a fun episode because I just want to dive right in and how do you get into what you're doing?
I mean, there's so many different ways. So many different people fall into it, but I used to be a sex blogger, doing sex toy reviews. Before I had an OG type of blog, although I started it way after blogs were popular, which was an interesting decision on my part. I wish I could do that again, but here we are. So through that, I had people who would read my blog and were turned on by things I was saying and were like, hey, I'd pay you to do XYZ on camera. And I was like, oh, more money. Love that as me as a student. So I accepted some offers, and eventually I kind of realized that I could make more money doing adult content rather than writing. Mm-hmm. So I switched over and I started my new brand, you would say, as Gwen Adora. Yes. And here I am.
I love the honesty too about money with anyone that is in this industry of there is more to be made here, and there's no shame in using your God-given gifts to make that money. Is there ever a time, this is going to be such an obvious dumb question, but do you enjoy it enough to reap the amount you get? Or are there times where you're maybe if I do this other thing, I'd enjoy it as much and make the same salary? Or are you nothing beats this shit?
I mean, my specific niche I've carved out of the videos that I make are stuff that makes me so, so happy. The majority of my content is solo POV roleplay videos. Mm. So it's a lot of me talking to my camera and being goofy and just doing improv, which I would say my job is fairly similar to other content creators who are outside of the adult industry, mm-hmm. YouTubers and podcasters. It's almost identical. It's just that sometimes I'm naked. And so
casual.
I absolutely love what I do. Although there is days where I'm oh my God, why did I get into this? But those are only happen when it's outside kind of entities making mm-hmm. my work harder to do, mm-hmm. Discrimination on websites and different platforms, and just general government legislation that happens in the States and in Canada that make my work harder to produce.
Yeah. And what is you talked a little bit about carving out your niche. What is your niche? Where do you thrive?
So you're big milky mommy GF. That is my tagline, even though I'm not actually a mother.
Wait, you're not?
I guess a childless MILF, if you will. I am a mommy dom for a lot of my viewers. I make a lot of sensual femdom type content. So, I mean, usually when we think of domination, we think of aggressive mm-hmm. and mean. Mine is much more condescending and nurturing.
Condescending and nurturing. What does that mean? Wow. I'm almost where do you get the personal experience? It's has anyone had a mother? That's exactly what they do. I'm curious about your clientele, right? Because everyone has an image of what a stereotypical viewer of more personalized sex work looks like, mm-hmm. where, it's traditionally in media proposed as a woman doing it for a man, and they are a little more hidden about it. It's not something that they're like very pridefully, you know, telling. It's not in their Instagram bio that it's their, you know, their fetish, if you will, or even an interest or a pleasure point. What do you see in your clientele that is maybe unique or surprising?
I mean, it's so diverse. It's people from all over. Like, I've got people who are women who like watching my videos, like that are like even me talking to like to the camera as like a man, if you will. Like any of like my, even if I use gendered language, like I still have women who are into that, or people who specifically don't identify as men who are into that as well. And yeah, I've got like trans clients and like obviously like male clients as well, but all over the spectrum in terms of ages too, like from like younger to older. We definitely have like a view in porn of like, oh, it's this old man who's like like buying porn and that's kind of it. But there's a lot of young people who are like getting into buying porn now, especially because we're seeing it's like a much more way of ethically consuming it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's all over the place. And there's people who are very proud of what they are into. And like, they have their little, you know, not safe for work Twitters that they use to like, you know, to interact with their favorite people. And it's such a wonderful personalized thing because I can get to know my clients beyond just what they're buying, but also some of their other interests as well.
So I was like kind of joking of like, where do you get your material if you're not a mom? But like, how do you improv? Like, where does your inspiration come from?
That's a really good question. I find I pull a lot of different areas of inspiration for my work. Like I look to a lot of traditional types of media and like performance art, as inspiration for my porn. Like I love like really campy shit. So like drag is an inspiration I take to porn, like over the top, like acting, Jennifer Coolidge. Like I look at so many different types of things and how I can, you know, use that to make a creative type of video.
Yes.
In terms of the motherly stuff, I don't know. I think like I'm definitely the mom of my friend group. So I think I can channel, like I just have this like innate, I never want kids, but I have this like innate, like nurturing side to me that I can use and exploit for money, which is wonderful.
Yes.
And yeah, people feel comfortable telling me their problems and wanting me to do naughty things to them. So
I love that you're like the mom as a role in your life to your friends, and you do have this nurturing side, and you're like, wait a minute, you mean I don't have to do this for free? Like that is what I love about like the internet. And I'm wondering, like, do you at all care about or look into like the psychology behind what makes someone interested in like mommy porn?
Well, I mean, I can assume a couple of things.
Yes.
There's not too many like in-depth studies about like specific fetishes. Often times like that kind of academic work around sex work is about other things,
right?
Rather than like the more interesting shit that we'd rather know. But yeah, I find a lot of people are just looking to be loved at the end of the day.
Aww. And like,
so a lot of like my presence to people is just making them feel comforted and wanted and sometimes scolded and are made to do things, you know. I think they just like that kind of like a dominant presence in their life, just to make sure and make them feel like they are doing okay.
Wow. Like you would assume maybe someone to have like, I'm making air quotes, mommy issues, right? Or like daddy issues when they look to that porn, but there really is no like correlation, you know? Like I think the number one searched porn term for a while was like, was it daddy or like sibling or something? Or I can't remember. Like, yeah. But
the taboo subjects are like always up in the most top search.
Right.
It's true.
And it's not necessarily, and this is something I learned from my sex therapist, it's not porn, like what your pleasures and fetishes are aren't necessarily what you want in real life. That's what makes it hot, right? Is like, yeah. It's not the norm, because if I was getting a milky mommy every day, it might not be as enticing and fulfilling when I come see you. Like, you know, I think there's like a distinction that people get fearful that like, oh my God, because I'm into this thing, does that mean that's what I really want in real life? And it's like, no, porn, there is a lot of fantasy and there is a lot of mm-hmm. like projection, and it's meant to be sort of this like fun, playful, pleasurable thing. And I think people put too much taboo on it, which I don't know, maybe makes some people harder, maybe more enjoyable, but
that's definitely true. People love the feeling that they are doing something and consuming something that is extra naughty, but right. The majority of the time someone's porn interest does not reflect exactly what they want in bed all the time. I mean, sometimes there is like overlap. Definitely there is overlap sometimes, but it depends on the person and depends on the kink.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting to see how people can play with that element of fantasy. Mm. I'll just do it like consuming like a piece of media, just like you would a movie or like a television show. Porn is another piece of fantasy media. Mm-hmm.
I want to know what is like a regular day in your life like. Like, walk me through a schedule.
Okay, so I mean, I have definitely undiagnosed ADHD, so my schedule is all over the place sometimes. But typically, I wake up. Sometimes I go to the gym, sometimes not. But then I usually during the day, it's kind of like a collection of like deciding what I need to get done. I often shoot my videos like later in the evening, just because that's the way my brain, that's when my brain is most awake, is like,
sure.
I don't know, in the middle of the night, which is evil, but
a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get away from that. But a lot of my day to day is admin things. So, if I'm sitting down for like starting my work for the day, I am immediately doing a to-do list of all the things I need to get done, which can like, the first thing is usually opening OnlyFans, replying to all of my messages there, making sure that all of my clients are happy and all the things have been done. And then content scheduling out, so making sure that videos are going out on time, editing as well. Also, so posting on social media throughout the day and making sure, yeah, there's like the safe for work promotions, the not safe for work promotions, all out. Yeah, I would say it's very similar to like a YouTuber or an Instagram model. You know, it's just the eye of the extra step of like making the porn and also uploading that as well.
Just that tiny extra step.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of sitting at my computer, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not that glamorous.
No, I mean, that's the side people don't talk about, right? It's like you're running the business from like A to B to C. Like you're not going to like a porn production house and just showing up and they're making all the content and cutting you a check. Like there really is something so powerful about being an independent creator. Like I fully get it, but like, isn't it sometimes fucking exhausting?
All the time. All the time. It's hard to like put my brain sometimes the amount of content that I have to put out, because I'm not just making like my porn videos and then selling them. That would be great if I could just do that, but I have to be also be making TikToks and making Instagram reels and Instagram stories and Instagram posts and Twitter posts and whatnot. And then also like to make sure that my website has CE or SEO, I have to be making blog posts on that. And like luckily I'm at the point in my career where I can outsource a bit of my work to some online assistants, which
yes.
I do for like some of my video uploading, which helps things immensely.
But I
run like a full like normal content creator business on top of doing pornography.
Yeah. Well, you brought up a good point too, of like, you have to have almost two versions of everything, where there's like a safe version and then a not safe. And then also like with creators, I know, you know, people like kind of discover you and they fall in love with you and they consume everything. And then like, maybe you're not showing up as much on their page, or like they're less interested in your subject matter and they kind of fall off. And it's like, you know, numbers grow and change. And like, I certainly attribute that fluctuation to my personal like value that I shouldn't, right? Like now I've gotten a little bit past it, that I've grown, but I have to imagine, do you feel the same in that like your identity is so tied to what you're selling, and like, how do you manage that feeling of like, oh God, someone isn't subscribed to me anymore, or if I'm gaining or losing followers. Like, how do you mentally manage that?
Yeah, it can be definitely detrimental, especially because the internet, especially these days, is not so friendly towards adult content or anyone who kind of even like breaches the area of adult content. Especially like as like a fat woman online too, I experience I say algorithmic discrimination from both my body type and also just the general fact that I'm a sex worker. So like I've had my Instagrams taken down and like my TikTok taken down, and like I've had to restart from the ground up like a couple of different times, and it's so discouraging because as a person who lives online and sells things online for a living, my digital presence is so important as like a staple of like a building community. But almost as like I would describe an Instagram as a business card for digital creators, right? You're like, oh, this is like my value of like what I, all the work I've done over the past couple of years. You can see I'm important based on the connections that I have, the amount of followers, the amount of engagement. And then to have that taken away from you, it's like, you're like, I don't exist anymore.
My life's work.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
I'm curious too about like going back to the fetishization. The fetishization of fat women in porn, when, you know, society is like, when you have the juxtaposition of the way society treats fat women. So like, how do you deal with that juxtaposition?
Oh, it's so interesting because I know people, like I see the numbers, I know people are buying my porn, but I get told on the daily by random internet men and sometimes women that like I like am a disgusting pig and that no one would want to fuck me or view my porn or let alone pay for it. So it's very interesting, but at the same time I'm like, I literally can see the numbers.
Right.
Success. I know I'm successful.
Right.
I don't need the external validation of a random internet person to tell me whether or not I should. But it is fascinating because BBWs are consistently one of the top 10, like, I think, top 10 or top 20, like, most searched terms on Pornhub, like, every year. So it's people are watching us. People don't want to date us. but it's like, you're consuming our content. You're consuming the porn. It's happening.
And for those who don't know, what is BBW stand for?
A big, beautiful woman.
Yes.
So plus size, fat, curvy woman. We're making porn. It's a porn term.
And, you know, I have permission to comment on how amazing your boobs are? Because...
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
I wouldn't normally just go off and say, no, that's not true. I would probably always compliment someone's titties. Like... I feel like when you have boobs like you, like there is no, like, why wouldn't you want to share that with the world? This is coming from like a very flat chested, like, I love boobs because, you know, you want the thing you don't have.
Of course.
Did you like see your boobs ever as maybe not a positive? Like, were you ever like, what am I going to do with this? And now you're like, make money and thrive.
Actually, I've always like me going through puberty, I wanted big boobs because I also love big titties. Like, it's just like a personal
preference. Yeah. It's a personal preference.
I love it. Yeah, personal preference. I love big titties. And well, I love everything, but I love big titties, especially my first love.
My first love.
Yeah. So like, as like going through puberty, I would literally like look up on Google, like how to massage your boobs to make them bigger and stuff, like stuff like that. Literally.
I missed that. I missed that link.
So I was always hoping for big boobs and I got big boobs, which was like, it just worked out.
Yeah. She was blessed, y'all. She was blessed. And I saw on your website that you are running for Pornhub's fave BBW model and social media star. What does that like mean for you? And what is like those accolades importance in the sex work world?
Yeah. So I've been honored to have won a couple of other different awards as well.
Brag, sis, tell us.
I won on this one site called ManyFids. They have like an awards thing every year, but it's more of a competition because you have to get your people to vote for you with money.
Oh.
So you're basically, it's really interesting. It's, I mean, like less of an award, more of a competition, I'll say. Yeah. Because and you get the money, but you only get like 60% of it. It's really annoying. But yeah. I've got many gripes. So I did win like a team choice award for one of those years. And I got like a big crown, which was amazing.
Oh, that is fun.
I was my pageant moment.
Yes.
I've won best femdom at the BBW Awards.
Yes.
And then I've won best BBW clip artist at the XBiz Cam Awards.
Ooh. I'm interested too about like the cam world because I just finished watching Pam and Tommy on Hulu. Have you watched that yet?
I haven't. I've been meaning to.
Yeah, I was late to the game. I was like, that's it. But it was actually really good. But they talk a little bit about like the startup of how cam modeling got in like on the internet and how it was like one of the first things. Of course, it's like we built this amazing technology. What's the first thing we're going to do? Women's boobs. Like, of course. But I wonder like how like break down for me the very first you camera webcamming with like an internet stranger interaction. Like I want to know thoughts, process, growth, fears, like give it to me.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Y'all know relationships take work, don't it? A lot of us will drop anything we're doing to go help someone we care about. But let me ask you something, confidants. When are you giving yourselves the same treatment? This month, BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to take care of your most important relationship, the one you have with yourself, okay, confidants? BetterHelp is an online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, because I'd be looking busted in the morning and y'all already know that. You've seen me online. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Whether it's hitting the gym, making time for your haircut, or even trying therapy, you are your greatest asset. So invest the time and effort into yourself like you do for other people. Personally, y'all know I will hype up BetterHelp to the day I die. I use it every week. We even use it for couples counseling. I love that I can do it and schedule it on my time. I'm not always waiting for, you know, a therapist to open their schedule book and try to fit me in. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. Confidently Insecure is sponsored by BetterHelp, and you guys can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/CI. That's BETTERHELP.com/.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash...
You can stay one step ahead of Stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
See Otter.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't do a ton of, like, one-on-one camming anymore. My prices are very high because it's an exclusive thing. Because the idea of me putting on makeup and directly getting my attention to one single person is, that's
costly.
Too valuable.
Yeah.
Very costly, yeah. But I remember one of the first, like, when you said that, the first, like, memory that comes to mind that's the strongest is this one guy who, like, would DM me. And we would mess up, we had each other on Skype, because like he was like going to procure my services of, a one-on-one cam show. And I think all he wanted to do was just like watch my ass and like, just not really nothing else. Just like didn't want to talk to me really. Just wanted to look at my butt. And I remember like, I didn't charge much for it at the time, cause it was like when I was really new to the industry, but it was like $50 for like 15 minutes. And I'm like, that's still pretty great. Like profit margin. So I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I remember coming out and telling my housemates at the time, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I just made like $50. And like, I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna do this again.
Yeah.
But it's very nerve wracking to like, even I still get nervous to like, to see someone in person, interact with them in real time, after you've been like talking, but you haven't really seen their face yet. So you're like, who's going to be opening this up?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what your vibe is at all. And it's like, what if I just get a very bad vibe for you?
Yeah.
Like, cancel the show, like, you know, or just like go through, you're, it's not a bad enough vibe to cancel it, but like enough to be uncomfortable when you're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, which is why I rarely do them anymore.
Yeah. And well, like, you seem to have expanded your business beyond just like a, like, I love the way you put it. Cause when I thought about it, for me to sit with an hour for someone one-on-one, giving them all my attention, I'm like, yeah, that, no, that's like a consultation fee. Like that's a high value in my opinion. Like that would cost money, a lot of money. An hour of my time is worth a lot. And so when you put it that way, it's like, well, yeah, that's probably not the most sustainable. So then, you know, you have to look at the sites like OnlyFans, and I know there's a couple that are like kind of like that, but do you see that as like the future and longevity of this kind of work that you want to do? Or like, what can you hope for in terms of growth, right?
Ooh, yeah. It's very interesting the way things are set up right now, because with the rise of OnlyFans, I guess like subscription service model is very popular, which obviously started with like Patreon back in the day, and sex workers were on Patreon back in the day before we got kicked off. And it's super interesting, but it is, I think it's pretty beneficial. I've seen like a lot more people like make a lot more money without needing to put in like the hours that I know cam girls put in on camera, because they have to be entertaining. It's essentially Twitch. You're sitting in front of a camera and like bopping around for hours, or you know, talking, or specifically shaking your ass in this case.
It's exhausting.
Yes, like I know people who would like put in like so many hours to just be like interacting on camera, and it fucked up their backs because like they had to move around. So OnlyFans and like subscription type model things are a lot more kind of like, you don't need to be right there doing it and interacting. You can kind of do it on your own time, and like schedule things out ahead of time, which is amazing. And like, I know like even like the top, like some of the top like OnlyFans girls and porn stars have assistants who do their messaging for them too. So like, there's like, it's like, you know, it's a much easier to kind of like, I don't know, to run as like a team per se. It's very interesting.
It does need to be scalable when it's, the business is you, and just like any other creator might have, you know, people running their DMs or like messaging back. I mean, that's the reason why we didn't get to connect all the way till last year. We reshuffled around our social media, but all that to say, I'm curious of like the, maybe the back end stuff that people don't think about when they think about sex work. Like, how are you filing your taxes? Like, how are you getting health insurance? Well, you are in Canada, so you might get fucking good health insurance, but like, give me the back business stuff of like how being an independent creator in sex work might be different from like a YouTuber or like is your money ever compromised because of the field you lie in?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, taxes is pretty much the same as like a YouTuber. Like, I mean, I have like someone to handle that because, I cannot do it by myself. Yeah. Too much. And I'm like, you know exactly what I should be writing off and what exactly I shouldn't be writing off. So I trust you. That's fine. Yeah, I think the main thing, that comes to mind is just when websites shut down, there is kind of there's no guarantee that you're going to get paid the money that you were deserved. Like, I know so many people who have been kicked off of OnlyFans and just haven't been able to, not access to any of the money that they made, like, in the past, like, couple weeks. They just couldn't cash out and they just don't get it. And there's no, the only thing you can do is, like, try to wrestle with their support, which is not easy to talk to whatsoever. They send the same copy and paste email back and forth for like almost every issue. It's in terms of like, comparison to adult sites to like, say for work sites, like for example, YouTube, I'm fairly certain y'all have a better, like, like a rapport with the people that are trying to help you. And for us, it just feels like you're up shit's creek. You're like, we're like, we don't have much you can do. And I mean, it depends on the website, but like, now that things are like OnlyFans is a gigantic platform, they've got a heavy hand, and they have to have a heavy hand on banning people and making sure things are in line because our industry is often so told by banks and governments and also like extremist religious groups that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. So the platforms are constantly trying to wiggle through these like very like finite rules of like what exactly sex we should be selling. So it gets very complicated down the line.
And like, you bring up a good point of like, I know more sex workers now today than I ever have before. So I definitely think, you know, the conversation around like what sex work is and it being a like fucking career and making money and like being happy and providing a service that makes other people happy is becoming like so much more acceptable than like me as like a 13-year-old hiding in my closet trying to like watch like shitty porn on like a 480p like screen. Like, it's definitely becoming more acceptable and exciting. But where do you feel like there are places that we're not paying enough attention to in the industry or like that need more visibility or work?
I mean, there will always be more we can do to support like more marginalized creators specifically, because a lot of times we see the most like successful in terms of monetary status or social status being like thin white like women who have conventional body types. And it's tough because a lot of the average, I know, marginalized creator gets like swept under the rug, whether that be fat creators, black and brown creators, trans creators, and people who especially like have multiple of those identities are often left behind in terms of general like advocacy and existence on the internet, especially like in regards to issues with like say accounts getting shut down or like, you know, losing access to banking, whatnot. Like the more like famous creator's voice is going to be heard over the majority of the rest of the population, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also something that I feel like, where can, especially listeners of like this podcast, you know, they might not be like very into porn or like that's not, they don't pay for porn or like, you know, it's not something on top of their mind and how they can like uplift and help other women and marginalized voices. Like, where do you think support can come from in like a non-traditional sense if they don't necessarily maybe have like the funds to be, I don't even want to say have the funds to be paying for porn, because it's like, if you don't have, should you be watching porn if you're not paying for it? Like, I don't know. Where's the ethics on that?
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's start with that. So I think like porn is, just like movies, that you go to the movie and pay for. It's definitely a luxury. I don't think it's a necessity, for most people. Yeah. But the thing is, like free porn that is put out by performers exists online, and we would like you to watch that.
Yeah.
I have many videos that I can earn like very limited AdSense on, like on Pornhub or wherever else that I decide to put my videos for free up, because that's good for advertising for me. I got some AdSense of watching it. So if you must watch free porn, and I know we all do, let's just be honest, we all watch free porn. Yeah. I think not saying that we don't, it's a lie. So if you're watching free porn, just make sure that the creator that you are watching on like the whatever website is like verified on that website, and that their content hasn't been uploaded illegally. And that can just, you know, helps with everything.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point, because like, and I've said it on this podcast before, I really like amateur porn, you know?
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
I like it where it's more like, you know, I want it on a cell phone. I want the angles to be weird. I want the production to be shit. Like, I want to know. Yeah. And like, I've never stopped to think, was that uploaded by the person in it? And both people, the consent was, or multiple people. Like, I've never stopped to think, like, is there a... And it's probably not a question you can answer, but is there a way to, like, beyond seeing verification of like an amateur profile? Like, now I feel, now I'm running through like the guilt of all the videos. I'm like, oh shit, I can do better.
Yeah. We could always do better. Yeah. I think, yeah, the easiest way is just to look like if they have a verification tick. And then like, if you want to take the extra steps to make sure that you're not consuming something that was like, illegally uploaded,
yeah,
then you can, you know, make sure, like, go and check if they have comparable like Twitter account that's attached to their shit,
yeah,
and like it's actually them posting. Like, if you go, like, just kind of like if you're a fan of any other people, just seeing if they have channels. But I also know people who just like, they just want to upload on Pornhub and not have like a porn presence,
right,
as a public figure,
right?
They just want to have, put up their videos, and they're fine with that. So it is, but like, I will say the verification process on Pornhub has only gotten more complex, just because of things that have happened in the past couple of years, surrounding illegally uploaded content. And like all, and that's not just on Pornhub, but on OnlyFans, on whatever, like we have to do like facial recognition software stuff now, which is a little scary, to be honest.
Yeah.
Giving third party
to your face.
Yes, literally giving them our face and our ID card, as someone whose work is often discriminated against by society and banking institutions. Very worrisome, but
yeah,
we are doing it because we know that like we are trying our best to help the websites that we are on make sure that they are not taken down, and then the rest of our income gets taken down.
So, right.
They do have pretty rigorous processes, and like the times that people or their content is getting through, like in terms of like verified type stuff, it's very limited that people are having, yeah, their content uploaded legally through verified platforms. Yeah.
Well, that you made me wonder, like, are websites like OnlyFans and Pornhub, Are you allowed to upload illegal content and like you just hope someone flags it, or like how are they processing the legality of anything uploaded onto their site?
Yeah, so it's kind of confused. So from the performer's perspective, I'll say that when we upload something, if it's with another creator or another person, we have to tag them, and if they have an OnlyFans account. If not, I believe we just have to like send them in paperwork to say like, hey, paperwork, because when we work with another creator or work with someone else, we have to do paperwork in order to have the records. And if someone requests the records, from the site, they send them to us and like, we would verify them. And often like sites are changing very quickly these days because, religious organizations and the government are very much trying to, squash out most pornography websites right now.
Jesus.
It's a very big battle. Look up the war on porn if you want to know more
about
that.
Yeah.
So all of the sites are kind of jumping through a bunch of hoops just to try to make sure that like let's be honest, the majority of the websites are consensual performers. So just to make sure that we can like sell their stuff. But when we apply for verification, we have to upload our ID. Obviously we have to connect our bank statements. And like they've got different processes depending on the website to verify that. But there's even some websites now that because I'm a solo creator majority of the time, I have to upload a like consent form with myself for the video that I'm uploading, which is like that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm willing to comply, obviously, but like,
it's like a weird, sweet thing. It's like, yeah. Do I consent to perform with me? Do I? Like, it's a metaphysical question. It becomes.
A little too much thinking for me. Yeah. And then on OnlyFans, they've been recently flagging a bunch of shit. Like, I think they got a new AI system or something because a bunch of videos of mine that pictures that I had taken with someone that I had uploaded separately. And I tagged the one my friend in one, but I didn't tag her in the other one. Like those were like, oh, make sure you tag them or else it's gonna be taken down.
Oh wow.
And then I had one that was a video and like the thumbnail for the video had like me, like I copy and pasted myself like three times to show to three different poses.
Uh-huh.
And they tagged that as like, oh, tag other performers. And I was like, it's
me. That computer and, doing that.
I know. And I tried like emailing them and being like, hey, I want to get ahead of this. Like, it's just me. There's nobody else in it. And they were like, oh, we can't discuss like what the compliance team is, like what their decision-making process is. And I was like, okay, but I would like just to say for the records that it's just me here. But your system is using a bad collage for like different people.
Seems like something with their robot that they're like, oh, fuck the fucking the wires sparking out. And they're like, we can't tell you what's happening exclusively behind the scenes. It's like, yeah, your technology isn't like up to like par up to date yet with maybe the way.
Yeah.
Same thing with like YouTube. We'll just grab keywords. Like I have to censor so much of my shit, obviously, and I don't even work in the sex industry, but I have to censor just like the taboo subjects we're here to learn about. So it's like, if I'm getting censored and taken off, I can't even imagine. Like, but it sounds like you've definitely found your niche and your revenue stream and like the way to do it. And I know the question everyone's going to want to know is, how much money do you make doing this? And while I totally believe in financial transparency, I also think you have the right to tell everyone to fuck off and find out. So I could phrase the question to be like, what platform pays the best? And like, against Canadian society, do you feel like you've made it?
I'm doing fairly well for myself. Yes. I will say that. Yeah, I am. So I, at the beginning of the pandemic, had all my student debt essentially was like, here we go, because I had just finished school.
Oh, wow.
And I am almost paid all of it off. And
congrats.
So I shall be paid off, I think, by September. So I'm very excited about that.
Hell yeah.
And I've also been able to I had two housemates before in a 3-bedroom apartment, and both of them moved out to live with boyfriends, and I took over the whole lease because I could afford it. So it's just very exciting.
We love an extra room.
Two extra rooms. So,
do you do with all those rooms?
Well, I've got one is my studio space. So it's all of my sexy porn things, all my weird dildos and stuff
I also have that drawer.
Yes, of course. Oh my god, mine's a full closet.
You're a drawer? No, honey.
And I use that to film different things in. Obviously I film around my entire apartment, but it's just a place where I can put things and keep things separate. I don't have to take down a set and go to bed, and then my other room is the last room in my apartment that I really need to design. So I love interior design.
Yes, me too.
So it's the last one that I'm this one is a project for this upcoming summer, but I have a spare bed. And then also that's where I have my more office, my big editing PC is in there. And then that's usually where I do my makeup and also have all my clothes down there.
Yes.
The only thing that's in my bedroom is just a bed. It's great.
As it should be, right? I think if anything, we've worked from home and we've kind of convoluted all of our spaces, but I love the separation of church and state being.
Yes. Oh my God. And I needed it. I needed it. So bad. But so back to income though. A diversification of income streams is extremely important as an online creator, especially as a sex worker, because you literally never know when one of your sites can drop. And for me, like a good example of that was on Pornhub. It was not this past December, but the December before. There was this really big issue came out about illegal content that was uploaded to the site, and there was some lawsuits and stuff like that. And so Visa and MasterCard were petitioned by religious organizations to stop using their services on the website. So people could watch the free videos, and we could get paid through AdSense. But people could not buy our pay-per-view videos, which were done through the model program. So you had to be verified to upload those videos. Jeez. So they didn't, it was chaotic. So I went from making just on Pornhub, which wasn't one of my major, it was still a significant income stream. Sure. I was making $3K USD a month. And then boom, I only make $300 a month now. Just because my AdSense as because my body type and also because I make solo content, that doesn't necessarily do well for Pornhub's algorithm. Mm. But I was making a lot more money selling my videos there because people like to pay for them.
Right.
I'm okay, I'd love to have that back. It's so unfortunate. And I know they're working their hardest to try to get the model program back in Visa and MasterCard, back in their good books, but it's been a really long time now. So
holy shit.
It's really sad. Yeah. That's an example of why it's so important to diversify the income. I have OnlyFans. It's my biggest income generator right now. And then I use, obviously, Pornhub for their AdSense. I have Many Vids, Clips for Sale, and I Want Clips, which are the last two are a couple fetish websites, and they're all pay per video type of porn sites. And then also working on trying to monetize my Safer Work things, because I think that is so integral to the survival of any adult content creator right now.
Yeah.
To make sure that they have their things that can't collapse as well as the things that can. I'm working, I have a podcast that I really want to launch eventually.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And then working on trying to monetize my social channels as well.
Yes. Cause it's more than just hot videos and pictures. There's a lot to learn from you too. On your website and with your social media, you do give this kind of behind the curtain and educational spin to things as well, which again, you said, that's probably part of your larger plan, but what else besides, the podcast can we expect from you? What's next, and where can our lovely confidants find you and support you?
Yeah, well, I'm also working on growing my YouTube channel. I have three videos, but I'm I think it's something a lot. That yeah,
three more than most people will ever do in their life. It takes a lot to make a YouTube video.
It does. So that's something that I am looking to expand to in the near future. But if people want to check up with my daily shenanigans, you can go to gwenadora.com/links and you will find links to all of the places that you can find me.
Yes, Gwen, you are such a bad bitch. I love everything that you are about, and you're so hot and you're so knowledgeable, not in that order. And confidants, that will definitely all be linked below. So make sure to check out Gwen. And I can't wait for the podcast. If you have any questions or need any recommendations, I've got you up and down.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Definitely. And confidants, make sure you check out all of those links below. Be sure to go follow Gwen and all her amazing content. And we will see you next week. Thanks, Gwen.
Thanks. Bye.
You're.